Good evening, everyone. Good evening, everyone. My name is Love Aludo, and today I'll be doing a comparative country risk analysis of Switzerland and Singapore. Okay, so today I'll be speaking to you as people with money who are actually confused about where to invest. So here, let's talk about Switzerland, first of all. As we see here, Switzerland is landlocked. A landlocked country is a country that has no access to the sea, so it's just surrounded by other countries. It's like tightly knit, so it has to depend on its neighbors for economic activities most of the time. And here we have the landscape of Switzerland, and you see the population is about 8.5 million, so they have a very low fertility rate in Switzerland. The languages are German, French, Italian, and Romansh, but for conducting business in the major capitals, Geneva and Zurich, they speak English. So why do we talk about the geography? Because them being landlocked means that they have to now trade with the neighbors. So their biggest partner is the European Union. And Switzerland benefits from these strategic partnerships. And yes, we've said the biggest partner is the European Union. That means you have access to all of those 20-something countries and the European market. So Switzerland is not a member of the European Union, and it does not use the euro. So it is a great place to conduct business if you're thinking of entering into the European market and you want like some easy, in quotes, entrance. Actually, they have a good rating for the ease of doing business. So you can actually just integrate through Switzerland, and then you have access to all of its partners. So yeah, there is the point about hydroelectric power, but we don't have that much time. So the fascinating thing about Switzerland is the Federal Council. I remember studying Switzerland when I was a child, and we talked about this whole seven people at a time being president, in quotes. So I found that very interesting. So they're known for their political neutrality, and they do not interfere in international conflicts. They haven't interfered since the 19th century. So they have a policy that is very keen on promoting economic stability, welfare, and developing their people. They invest very well in education and research. So it's known to be a safe haven for international organizations. The United Nations is based. It has a big branch in Switzerland, headquarters, Geneva. And investors can also go there and benefit from the amazing business climate. So it has consistently ranked number one globally on the Human Development Index. So I want you to take note of this, because we'll come back to Singapore being here. So this rating is over 1,000, and then we see 962 here, and we'll talk very soon about Singapore, which rates 939 there. So the highlights, while you're focusing on the Swiss economy highlights, I will just talk about their ranking as one of the top 10 economies by GDP per capita, and it has one of the lowest rates of VAT in the entire Europe, in all of Europe. So their main trading partner, as we've talked about before, is the European Union. Okay, so when I was putting this slide together, I thought maybe they had a thing for stars. So they have European Union, United States, and China, and Germany and United Kingdom as their top five trading partners. Germany buys is the biggest buyer of gold from Switzerland. So the sectors buying growth and stability in Switzerland are as seen here. So approximately 74% of their GDP is generated by the services sector and 25% by industry. Their agriculture contributes barely 1% to their GDP, and gold exports in 2021 was worth about $86.7 billion. And since I said I'm talking to people with money, your multinational enterprise in Germany, in Switzerland, multinational enterprises contribute 22% to the GDP. So now let's briefly talk about Singapore. I chose Singapore because it has some similarities and it contrasts in a way. Similarities, well, they're small population countries, and contrast, this one is not landlocked. In fact, Singapore is one of the busiest and has one of the busiest and most important maritime hubs in the world, with extensive port facilities and a thriving shipping industry. The population is just 5.7. Remember, Switzerland is 8 points, so this is 5 points, and we'll talk about that later. So why did I choose Singapore? As we've seen before, so I put this down here, but I think we should talk about this first. Singapore is often called the Switzerland of Asia because they have a lot in common, apart from their flags almost having the same colors. So Switzerland and Singapore are known for their stability, transparency, and their investor-friendly business environments, since you have money. They both boast highly developed infrastructure and strong regulatory frameworks that support business growth and innovation. So they're open market economies, and you see here, this used to be A2, now it's A1. The business climate, then country risk. And here we have Switzerland, A1, A1. So they're actually running neck to neck on a lot of indices. As I said before, just they have access to global markets and investor friendly, and they're stable on so many parameters. So here we're going to do an analysis. This is where I'm possibly going to spend my 5 minutes on. So the corruption perception index rank, this is the rank, this is the score. For the ranking, out of 180 countries in the world, Switzerland ranks number 6, Singapore ranks number 5. You see they're actually running neck to neck. For their score, this is 82 points, and this is 83 points. These are positive points. And for balance of trade, we're going to look at their import and export. So import here, now you would see here that Switzerland has 1.18388, and for export it has 2.1223, and Singapore seems to have a higher number, but do not forget that Singapore has access to the sea, while Switzerland does not. So I think the number is actually fair. So they're actually experiencing trade surpluses, the two countries. And just for context, Swiss franc is actually a very, very strong currency. It's one of the most stable currencies in the world. It is the most stable currency in the world. And the Singaporean dollars is also close to the US dollar. It's about 0.74 to one US dollar. No, 0.74 US dollars to one Singaporean dollar. Also, if in case you are looking at every other thing here, there is something very, very fascinating about these two countries. Now, even though here, Singapore, Switzerland is doing better with debt to GDP ratio than Singapore. Singapore is still one of the strongest economies, still has one of the strongest economies in the world. And that's very fascinating because experts will tell you that if the number is higher, if it exceeds 90%, then that's a negative factor that's very risky. But Singapore is a country that makes an exception to that rule. And based on GDP growth rate, we see here that Singapore is actually doing better than Switzerland. But based on GDP, we see here that it is $800.6 billion. That's a combination of South African and Nigerian GDP put together, or Nigeria, Ghana, and Kenya. Sorry, Ghana. And then moving on. Let's analyze these indices one by one. Political. Switzerland is known for its long-standing political stability and neutrality. It minds its business. I'm not joining you, EU. I'm not going to use your euros. I mind my business. Then economic. It has a very strong economy, stable currency, and low inflation rates. So the inflation rates here, we see that it just dances around 2 points and almost three here. And then we see here that Singapore has a higher inflation rate. So since you have money and you're thinking, you should put that into consideration. So, risk of natural disasters, very low risk of earthquakes and hurricanes. The infrastructure, excellent infrastructure with modern transportation and communication, and market access, of course, access to the European Union, and legal environment. It is actually, in fact, the reason why Singapore scores higher on ease of doing business here is because of the strict regulations that you will need to go through to integrate the Swiss market. But Singapore here scores number two. That means it's very, very easy to do business here. And here, it's still relatively easy if we're talking about 180 countries. So you still have it at number 32. So market size and growth is a small domestic market if you're thinking of selling within the market. So I think that Switzerland is more like a hub that just exposes you to connections. It's like that guy that when you say, I know a guy that knows a guy. So business environment, yeah, it's very highly conducive to do business in Switzerland with low levels of corruption because of the regulatory process which we just talked about. So yeah, we're not going to dwell on this. This is just Switzerland's ranking in terms of competitiveness, innovation, talent, and globalization. Focus on competitiveness here. Number two, top 10. So Switzerland's weakness, we just talked about the small market. Like I said, if you want to use Switzerland and say, I'm going to stay in Switzerland and sit there. Well, funny thing about Switzerland is that we talked about Nestle. And when we're talking about Nestle sales overall from Switzerland itself is less than 3%. But then it makes more of its money like in other places because the market in Switzerland is very small. So if you're thinking of settling there, it's not actually a good idea. Another weakness is it depends on financial services sector. And yes, it's actually a wealth management hub, which actually is a similarity with Singapore. Singapore is soon to be like the biggest wealth management hub in Asia, surpassing Hong Kong, soon to be predicted. And then weakness of Switzerland again, small open economy and landlocked. Yes, remember, landlocked, no access to the sea. That's why the figures were different when it came to important exports or relatively smaller than Singapore. So they have complex bureaucratic regulatory environment. Like we said, their ease of doing business index figure was 36 compared to 2 for Singapore. So yes, that can come as a weakness. That can be very discouraging. And then just talk about the relationship between Switzerland and the EU. Most of the frameworks, most of the agreements have not been updated in years. So they have this small thing going on. Strength of Switzerland. Yeah, we've seen the political stability, economic stability, business-friendly environment, relatively low taxes, since you have your people with money. Relatively low taxes. Very, very interesting. Relatively low. The same as Singapore, but this is a strength for Switzerland. And strong connection between academia and industry, and it contributes to its innovation prowess. So they invest heavily in their education, like I've said before. They have a very, very skilled workforce, very educated workforce. And this is one of their strengths in their economy as well. So they're very, very well connected, global connectivity, and well-developed transport communication network. So what do I think? Deloitte competitiveness ranking for 2021. Actually, this came as a surprise to me because they're actually running closely again here. This is Singapore, and this is Switzerland for not consecutive years, but within this space of time, you see that Switzerland and then just Singapore. So I think that I would choose Switzerland because of its strong time up.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, but read it though. Thank you so much.
Oh, you have 1 minute if you want to go.
Oh yeah, I do. Thank you. Okay, anyway, thank you. Thank you again.
Was good.
I didn't know.